Praise the Lord. Well, being Memorial Day weekend, you know, not everybody believes that every war we fought is justified and on and on and on, and that's true. But, you know, honoring those that have fallen is just a proper thing to pay homage there and recognize those things. And it's amazing how vulnerable countries are even to this day. If you read world history, as soon as someone feels like they can come in, if they have something they want from what you got, amen, it's just a matter of who can go in there and beat down the other. That still exists today, amen. And so just an interesting thing to study those things. But anyway, I like Memorial Day. I think it's definitely a neat time of the year, but praise the Lord. So let's go ahead and jump into our study tonight. We'll be in Isaiah 20 to start. We're gonna look through Isaiah a little bit. And I'm looking at the Bible in reference to a servant. And we're gonna see in reference to Isaiah that the word servant's used multiple times. We're not going to look at every time the word servant is used in Isaiah, but I didn't record the number of times, but it's numerous. But a few of those times we're going to look at, and just look at it in reference to that. In the day, especially in our country, that everybody's kind of revolting against the thought of being a servant, amen? And a servant, just the whole aspect of being under authority from somebody else. I mean, a lot of children today, I mean, they don't like the thought of being under the authority of their parents. I don't have to do what you told me to do. Well, yes, you do. But thank you for your suggestion. I mean, it's just crazy, amen. In every realm, it just seems that way, that people revolt against that authority structure, which is God ordained. God established authority, and God does things decently and in order. And there's just a right way to handle ourselves and a right way to go about things. And I think being a servant, you know, good servants make good leaders. If you can't be a good servant, you'll never be a good leader. Some people say, oh, I just want to be in charge. Well, until you learn how to follow someone that's in charge, you'll never be a good leader, you know. And people that say, you know, I don't want to work for somebody because I just don't think I could follow. I just don't think I could do that. You have a real issue. Why not? Why would that be hard? Amen. Why would that be? That's like the easiest thing in the world. Just listen and do it. Amen. My favorite position is to be under someone else's authority. I think it's great, unless they're trying to tell you to do something wrong, then you can appeal to that. But if when I worked for ATA and all, I loved it. Literally, before I became a lead and got into some supervisory roles, it was amazing. I would just go to this little window, we have a big airplane in the hangar, go to the little window, I'd get my little card called an M12, and it would say a problem on there. And sometimes it would give a recommendation how to fix it, a lot of times it didn't. And on this big airplane, you just take this little card and you go find this little issue, and then you fix it. And then you sign it, you take the little card back and give it in. You say, thank you, sir, may I have another? And they give you another one. And you take that little card. You go find it on the airplane where it's at. You fix it. Amen. Sign it off. Take it back. It's probably lunch by about that point. And you go eat lunch. How easy is that? It's amazing. Some guys would be complaining, you know, and all that. And we used to kid people about, you complain about everything, amen, and you know, even having a little flashlight and everything, and it's just, how is that hard? Just do your job. I'd say to people, you know, if you don't like it here, you're good at looking for a job. Apparently you were looking for one when you found this one, so you know how to do it. So why don't you, if it's so bad here, go find a new job. Why do you got to be miserable? You guys know what I'm talking about? We have to learn how to thrive in the area of making somebody else successful. Thrive in the area of just being a servant. And if you've not come to that yet, I encourage you, stop trying to lead and learn how to be a servant first in everything. That goes for children. It goes for moms. It goes for dads. It goes for us in our marriages. It goes for church members, Lord, for people in leadership in a church. It goes for occupation and different. It goes for everything. Society, civilly. Know how you're supposed to be a good citizen, right? There's a way to serve in the citizenry without just complaining about everything. Get involved. Do your part. Amen? Anyway, learn how to be a good servant. I hope this message will encourage us along those lines to enjoy that. Just enjoy this, being able to serve. By the way, Christianity is all about being a servant. It's all about serving Jesus. Amen? You saw me run around here kind of crazy, foolishly today with a banner. Amen? But you know what? I love Jesus. And he's everything to me. And if I get to run around with a banner with his name on, I'm good. I can do that. Amen. I'm not above that. Amen. Because he's good to me. Amen. And I love him very much. So Isaiah 20 verse 3. And the Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah, get this, hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and wander unto Egypt and upon Ethiopia. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for this day. Thank you, God, for what you've given us to do. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to serve you and to, God, just be at your beck and call. God, to not complain, not to murmur, not to rail on you or put blame on you for everything that's not right as we see it. But God, you're a good God. You've been good to us. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for having mercy on me and each of us here today and loving us in spite of us. And Lord, you didn't have to include us in ministry like you have. But God, you've truly set us upon a rock and enabled. You are enabling us to do something that's way beyond us, God. And I thank you for that. And if I get to be called a servant of yours, that's a high calling as far as I'm concerned. And I thank you. So help tonight, Lord, help us to be able to learn a few things to this evening about being just a proper servant of thine. And we'll thank you, God, for what you do in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Isaiah is an interesting prophet to study, but one of the people kind of go back and forth on what this actually means here. But sometimes being a servant of God is always exciting, but at times God does call us to do some things that might be a little uncomfortable, that might put us in a vulnerable spot. And there are those may say something like, I would never do that. And I would just say, be careful on those absolutes that you say along those lines. Amen. And just know that Isaiah was called to do something here as an example of the shame that Israel already was in reference to God. It was a well-known thing that when an enemy came in and really overtook a nation, that they would strip them down. And they may not be totally naked, but close to it. And I don't know where they were. They'd shackle them together, chain them together, whatever. And they would lead them out of their cities, their nation, naked and humbled. You remember even David, his men were, I can't remember all the whole story. So anyway, they ended up, remember, shaving their beard and ripping off some, I think they cut their skirt to where their legs were shown. And that was a shame, right? That was a humiliation. And so what Isaiah was called to do was be a visible example of what Israel had become, which was a shame because they had rejected God and chose idolatry and all on and on and on. And so that's what that was. And so I just wonder how God's people today would react to God calling us to do something that might be maybe a little out of the ordinary, but needed for God to prove a point. Because Isaiah was just a man. Like you and I are people, real people. He was a real person. And he was called to something like that. And I praise the Lord that Isaiah was willing just to serve God as God called him to. Amen? And so, interesting passage to consider. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says this, for I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The blessings of being a servant of God far exceed any hardship or anything that God gives us to do. Amen? Far exceed. I mean, if you start feeling sorry for yourself, just start thinking about heaven. Amen? Just start even just counting your blessings that God gives us on this earth when you start thinking about just the, you know, God wants us to be in church how many times a week? And in all reality, if you really think through it, we've worked through all the services needed, all those things. And as a pastor, we used to be as a church before I was pastor, we used to be so busy, like every night of the week, there's something on the calendar. And there are some churches that believe that you have to keep your people busy every night of the week. Or, you know, they'll get into things they shouldn't get into. Amen. But that doesn't leave a lot of time for you to, you know, be engaged with family, which is important, and everything else that needs done everywhere else. So I make it a point. We don't always put things every night of the week. There are some things here and there, but it's not consistent. Why? Because we want our people to have that freedom to be able to do what needs to happen. Amen. But at the same time, even with the services, the different things, can I say that's just one part, but it's not too much to ask. Amen. It wasn't too much for God to ask for me to walk away from a career and be a pastor. That wasn't too much to ask. It's reasonable. It's reasonable. Amen. And on and on and on. Amen. In reference to raising kids. I mean, Dana and I never sought out to have 8 kids. We didn't know going in, but we ultimately just said, God, if we can trust you with our salvation, we could trust you with this too. And that's just ended up being what it is. Amen. And we praise the Lord for that. But 8 kids was it's, I know there's a show, 8 is enough. Amen. But 8, it really wasn't about the number. Amen. We just wanted to serve God. That's it. And then we end up with what we end up with. Amen. And on and on and on. Whatever God gives you in the area of burden. And that's not that having 8's a burden, but there is a burden to it. There's a weight to it. Amen. And so just everything that God gives us to do, amen, is doable because He supplies what we need to accomplish that. If you keep in mind the servant master mentality, and even the employee employer mentality, if you're working a job, you would expect that your employer would supply you what you need to accomplish the task. I mean, if John was working for a utility and they said, I want you to, you know, replace these poles and rebuild these lines, and they say, and by the way, you need to go get the stuff to do it out of your own pocket, I think you'd say, yeah, I can't do that. I don't have the ability. I don't have those resources to do that, right? And the cost of that stuff would far outweigh any compensation that he's receiving anyway. That would be ridiculous. We'd look at that and say, that is ridiculous. But can I say, the same thing's true of God. If God has called us to something, then he always supplies what we need so that we as a servant can then accomplish his will. He always does. As a church, if he's calling us to train people up, to see them saved, disciple them, see them baptized, disciple, join the church, raise them up, he always supplies what we need to accomplish that. Amen? In your families, and on and on and on. If God has called you to something, he always supplies the materials needed. Amen? And I praise the Lord for that. That's one of the blessings of working for somebody. It's huge, wonderful. And if you own your own business, you know what a weight that it is at times in having to supply all of that so that the workers can then do, right? But God, he's the one supplying us with everything so that we can do what he's called us to do. So with that in mind, it should be a blessing and not a burden. Amen? It should be a blessing serving God because he's the one that gives us everything we need. Amen. So that we can accomplish that task. Even when it's something like Isaiah was called to. Say, what would he need? Man, he would like need to be invisible to himself. Amen. He'd have to be able to not think about what's going on. I mean, that would be tough, right? Because sometimes God calls us to do some things that are uncomfortable for us. Wednesday night, we were able to see Dana and Lily baptized, getting things made right in reference to order of when they were saved and all that. And Lily was able to come up, amen. And I don't know that you're all that comfortable behind a pulpit up here. I don't know. It didn't seem like, you don't know what it's like up here until you're up here. Amen. But she did it. Praise the Lord. That's the power. I mean, that's the power of God. It's being willing to be involved in things that our flesh is not all that excited about. Amen. Like street preaching and all that. That's an interesting one. God calls you to that and you go. It's difficult for a time. Door knocking, by the way, it can be very intimidating. Hey, I'm out from McGregor Baptist Church. Right? That can be very intimidating, right? Maybe for many in this room, you'd say, man, that's too much. Well, you're right. If you're the one supplying what you need to do it, it would be too much. But do you know that if you'll go, if God's calling you to go, that God will give you what you need at that moment at that door? Amen. He supplies. He always supplies. Witnessing to a coworker, that can be very difficult. Amen. But aren't you happy that God will give you what you need if he's called you to witness? So you can talk to that person, so you can communicate with them, so you can reason with them, so that you can have those words come to mind by the Holy Spirit of God that they need to hear at that right time. See, it's all God. It's all we need to be as a servant is willing. That's it. That willing and we need to not backtalk God. Amen? We need to not say, but God, don't you understand? Well, of course he understands. But God, I don't like that. Okay. That doesn't really matter. If you're a servant, your likes and dislikes really get set aside. Amen? Because you're not working for you. If you were working for you, it'd be different. You're not. You're working for God. Amen? And I help Rob some and all that. And I'll be honest with you. Some of the stuff I do in helping Rob is wonderful. I think it's just exciting fun. And then there's other things that ain't so fun. And we were working a job the other day and putting in a furnace in a trailer, then trying to make an addition. That was rough. That was rough. Amen. But that's okay. It's all part of the fun. Amen. It's just part of it. It's not a big deal. Amen. Some of you ladies might have parts of what you do that you really, really, really like, and other parts that you really, really, really don't. But it's okay. You don't have to let everybody know that. Enjoy it all. Amen. Why? You're just being a servant. You're just being a servant to God. And God is the one giving you that opportunity. God is the one that's giving you those resources. God is the one that's giving you that environment. Amen. Where you can just serve God in. Amen. And that is a blessing. Look over at Isaiah 37. Isaiah 37, going to show a few verses here in Isaiah. We looked at Isaiah 20. And we saw how Isaiah was called to something that would have been very difficult. Amen. But yet he was willing. And then in Isaiah 37, 35, he says, "For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake." Do you know that as you serve God, remember, David was known as a man after God's own heart. He was one who was willing to serve God. And by the way, as I recall, David was a man that was in some dangerous situations a lot. Amen? He was in a pickle a lot of the time, and he was willing. He was willing. David's mighty men, where do you think they learned that from? They learned it from David. There are some people, man, it's like they're fearless, amen, in face of danger. Amen? And I like those people, amen. They're just willing to go, amen. Willing to do, willing whatever. God's going to take care of us, amen. Right? Like Joshua and Caleb. Yeah, it looks bad in there. I mean, those guys are big. They got big walled cities. They got weapons. They got all that. But if God be for us, let's go. I love those people, amen. And so I see David as that. But do you know who else loved that from David? God. He was willing. He just wasn't a big no. He wasn't that to God, like many Christians are. Every time God comes and asks you something, no, I got this going on. No, I can't do that because of this. And no, I don't like that. And no, this. And no, that. He wasn't a no. David was sure. If you'll be with me, I'll go. I'll do it, right? And so we find, though, what then happened? It followed David. It didn't just follow David, it followed David's posterity. And in Isaiah 37, we see that God said, I will defend this city, referring to Jerusalem, for David's sake. God will get involved for your sake if you will just be a servant of his. And you'll not complain and you'll just enjoy serving God. I hope that people pick up from me that I enjoy serving God. Amen? And I hope that people pick up from you that you just enjoy serving God. The variety, amen. The amazing variety in serving God. I hope that people pick that up from us, that we enjoy just serving him. Because David did, and God said, based on him, I will defend what he stood for, what he put his life into, which was that city there. It's called the City of David. Amen. Jerusalem. And I find it interesting. All those years that they were pulled out and put into captivity, God protected that city. And God enabled that city for them to come back after those years and set up shop again. How? God. God kept everybody out. And then after all those years here, in just the last couple thousand years, all the years leading up to when Israel was put back into their nation, their place there, God protected it again and gave it back to them. Amen. God is involved. God protected. And as we see here, for David's sake. Look at Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 and verse number 8. He says, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen. Now, God called Israel their servant, but Israel wasn't always a real good servant. Amen? But notice this. God still called him a servant. He says he chose them, and he did, the seed of Abraham, my friend, referring to Abraham, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Isn't it a blessing that you are counted a servant of Christ? And by the way, he chose thee. Amen. Don't get all hung up on chosen, election, predestination, all that stuff. If you came to Christ, you're part of his elect. You're part of the chosen. So how'd you come? By his process. Can anybody come? Yes. Will everybody come? No. Some will choose not to. Amen. But once you come, you're now part. Now, in reference to Israel, nationally speaking, God did pick them as a nation to bring about the Messiah of which all the world would be blessed to the Abrahamic covenant. But that was nationally speaking. That did not refer to heaven. That was earthly. Amen. And he brought about Christ through them. But he still chose them to be a servant. And what was their job? What was Israel's job ultimately? To be under the law and to show the world that you can't keep it. That's what we learned from Israel. Amen? You say, well, how come they got that job? Well, God gave it to them. How come I got this job? Well, God gave it to me. How come you got your job? Well, God gave it to you. And for that, we should be thankful, not prideful. Right? Israel shouldn't be prideful based on what they were given to do, no more than I or anyone else. We should not be proud because of our servant status, but we should be thankful. Amen? He says, I've chosen thee and not cast thee away. Say, well, why is that there? Because by all rights, God should have cast him away. And he even had that conversation with Moses. That's it. I'm wiping them all out. And Moses actually went before God and said, no. Don't do that. What are the people going to say about you if that happens? And so it was there. It was a possibility. Amen. But he didn't cast them away. This is what he says in verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. You know, one of the best things about being a servant is that the one you're serving, you actually maintain, you gain strength and power based on them. Amen? How can we stand and do what we do day in and day out as a church, as Christians? Because of God. That's it. Because God is with us. I will be with you whithersoever thou goest. Amen. I am with thee. Be not dismayed. We have no reason to feel like in this day that we live, we have no reason to feel anxiety. We have no reason to feel like we're in trouble, like we are going to be crushed, that ought not. We have no reason to feel that way. Why? God. God. He's with me. And I know I'm his servant. Amen. It goes on to say this. He says, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Listen, if God be for us, who can be against us? He's called us more than conquerors. How can you be more than a conqueror? I mean, being a conqueror is great, but he says we're more than a conqueror. Amen. Say, what's all that mean? We're in Christ. Christ wins, we win. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are serving from a posture of strength, not weakness. Not our strength, his strength. I serve from a posture of strength because he's strong and he is with me and he goes before us. He is the one that we lean on and rely upon and expect to do these exploits. Not us, we're just following. We're just being a servant. He's supplying everything we need. Look at Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, verse number 19. This is a very interesting verse. Isaiah 42, verse number 19. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect and blind as the Lord's servant? Very interesting. The blindness that God is referring to here ultimately is a good thing. Blind to the things that we don't need to see so that we can then be available to operate in the manner that God has called us to operate. There's a lot of things that I just don't want to see. There's a lot of things that I want to be blind to. Matter of fact, keep your spot in Isaiah, but turn over to John 9. In John 9, Jesus is having a conversation with the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, They thought they were something. I mean, they thought they were learned. They thought they were wise. They thought they deserved worship. They thought that they were everything to Israel, and very proud. And in John 9 and verse 39, it says, and Jesus said, for judgment I am come into the world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Amen. Love it. Sometimes just the way God works and all that, it's just wonderful. Amen. But being a servant of God is going to demand that you become blind to some things. Amen. Blind to some things. You need to be blind to your own will. You need to stop seeing what you want. Stop seeing what you desire to come to pass. You need to stop focusing on your life. If you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you will lose it for his sake and the gospel's, you'll find it. Amen? And so we need to be blind to our own will. We need to be blind to our own desires. I know God will give us the desire of our heart, but that's kind of an interesting phrase there, how that works, amen. As we serve him, he gives us good things to desire and then brings those things to pass, amen. And so, but we need to be blind to our own carnal desires. We need to be blind to our fears. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. So we need to become blind to our fears. You say, yep, if I'm blind to my fear, what's gonna protect me and keep me from what I think might hurt me? God. Don't you trust him? You think Isaiah wanted to walk around naked for 3 years? I'm just saying. No, 1,000 times no. Amen. It got to the place Jeremiah, he got tired of speaking the word. Every time he spoke truth to the king and to the officials, every time he got ill-treated, thrown in the dungeon, he got to the place, that's it. That's it, God. I'm not speaking anymore. I'm done. And then God just kept working on him. And then he said, I can't do this anymore. I got to speak. Amen. And then who did God send to deliver him? An Assyrian king Assyrian governor, not governor, but a captain came and said, get this guy out of here. What's he in his pit for? So the point is that we need to really surrender our fears to God. If you're a person driven by fear, you'll never soul win. You'll never witness. You'll never allow yourself to be in an uncomfortable situation. You know, you're not going to be a very good servant, because what you're going to do is you're going to say to God, God, I'm willing to serve. Here's my box that I'm good in serving in. Everything else I'm uncomfortable with. Don't put me in these areas. So I'm right here. That's it. God just doesn't work that way. Amen. Because that doesn't show that we trust him. It shows that we trust us. Do you realize that you do not ultimately know what you're good at in the service of the king? What God calls you to serve in may not be what you feel you're good at. Right? But you'll never be open to serving where God wants you to serve if you're the one that puts God in a box or yourself in a box and says, God, these are my requirements. This is where I'm comfortable. Everything else, I'm scared to death of that. You got to lay aside those fears, and you have to trust God that if God directs you, that he's right, and he will protect you, and he will help you, and that he will lead you through that graciously. He knows your shortcomings. He knows where you're at. He knows what you can handle, what you can't handle. He knows what you're good at. He knows we just have to trust him. Amen? We need to be blind to our fears. We need to be blind to our thoughts about things, because we all have opinions. And sometimes our opinions keep us from ministering to people we have strong opinion about. Do you know what the word judgment literally means? Opinion. When that judge strikes the gavel down and he gives his final judgment, it becomes the court's opinion. Do you know whose opinion matters? It's not my opinion. It's not your opinion. It's God's. Amen? And if I have strong opinions about things, that means I've probably blocked out God's opinions about things. And so I need to be willing to be blind to what I think about things so that I can see what God thinks about things. You see, that's how it works. The Pharisees couldn't get past their own sight. They were so stuck on how they saw it. Well, that's not how I see it, Jesus, right? And because of that, they were blind to what God actually saw, because they could only see what they saw. Do you see how that works? So they had to be able to see, they would have to become blind so that they could see from God's perspective. So same for us. We got to become blind to our thoughts and stop being so opinionated about things and be open to God's opinion. We need to be blind to self so that we can see with the eyes of the Master. And isn't that ultimately what growth as a Christian is all about? John the Baptist said that he must decrease and that Christ must increase. And what he meant by that is that he became smaller and smaller in every aspect, in his own mind towards himself, and that Jesus became bigger and bigger and bigger in concept, in everything. That's really where we're at too. That's why we as Christians never stop growing, because we've not arrived yet. And we're not, we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ as believers, but we haven't arrived yet, and we won't until we see him. We will be like him when we see him as he is. And we've not seen him as he is yet. We've not lost this carnal robe of flesh yet and been brought to glory. It's coming, but we've not been there yet. And so until then, we have a lot of room to grow in. But in order for us to become a better servant and grow into Christ, the perfect servant, we need to become blind to some things on earth, amen, so that we can see with God's eyes. Look at Isaiah 43:10. Isaiah 43:10. He says here, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." Amen. Again, "You are my servant, I have chosen." As we become his servant, we know him and we believe him. And in a day like it is today, listen, the only way you're going to be able to tune out all the garbage that exists out there, all the antichrist sentiment. 1 John 4 said there's already many antichrists in the world. We could say that's absolutely right, there sure are. But that rhetoric that is constantly being pumped from every media source is going to affect us unless we are just yielded as true servants of God. Because as we are, he actually enables us to know him and to believe him. Isaiah 44 and in verse number 21, he says this, "Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant. O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me." Remember, it is God that has made us who we are as we serve him. It's not we ourselves. It is God. We must remember who he is. Isaiah 48:20. "Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans," it says in Isaiah 48:20. "With a voice of singing, declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob." Goes well with this morning's message. Preach Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's my Savior. I am his servant. That's who I am. I love him. Declare it. Let people know that that's who he is. Don't be ashamed of your master. Don't be ashamed of your Lord. Don't be ashamed of your Savior. Don't be ashamed of his word. Amen. It's wonderful. In Isaiah 49, and let's just jump to Isaiah 50, verse number 10. "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." So who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness, hath no light? So there's somebody that knows God, but yet is in the midst of darkness, and there's no light there. How can I get out of that mess? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. This is a recipe for how you can grow as a servant in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. As you already have a relationship established, what can you do? You can trust God and you can stay upon what he tells you. You can remain there. Amen. That's what we do as servants. Sometimes, by the way, we look foolish to the world for believing what we believe. It doesn't matter. I'm going to side with God. I'm going to side with his word. People at some point might make it pretty hard to utter the reality that there's only two genders. They already are, you know? It doesn't matter. There's only two genders. So how do you know that? In the beginning, God made them male and female. And that hasn't changed. Amen? So I'm going to proclaim it and stay on God. Amen? Some might think I'm, uneducated because of it. Well, I don't want that type of education. Amen. I want this type of education. Amen. And I'm okay with that. And we need to be okay with that. I am a servant of God. I am not a servant of this world. I'm not a servant of myself. I'm not trying to promote me. I'm not trying to promote carnality. I'm not trying to promote the United States of America. I am seeking to promote Jesus Christ and Him crucified, period. Amen. And so if that makes me look a little uneducated to this perverse world, so be it. I'm staying with God. Amen. Isaiah 52:13. He says this, Isaiah 52:13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Amen. It means I'm going to be wise. If I'll just be a servant of God, I'll deal prudently. I'll deal wisely with things, properly with things. The only way that we as a Christian can function as God has intended for us to function is from a posture of being a servant towards God. I'm not called up, it's not my job to correct God. It's not my job to cause others to doubt God. It's not my job to complain about the task and life that God gave me. These aren't my jobs. Say, what is my job? Just be a servant. Do you know how easy it is to be a servant? This is how easy it is. When God says to do something, yes, sir. Is that easy? How hard? You don't got to put any thought into that. God, read your Bible. You need to read it, and you need to study it, and show yourself, yes, sir. And then do it. Is that easy? Forsake not the assemblings of yourselves together. What's that? Go to church when it's, the doors are open. The church, just go. Yes, sir. Is that easy? Witness to that person. Hand out a tract. Talk to this person about Christ. Okay. Yes, sir. Is that easy? I had to put any thought into that. The Lord put all the thought into it. I just have to stop being the no. I just have to stop being the resistor to God. And instead of telling God the million reasons why I can't serve Him today, I just need to say yes. And then He supplies. Okay, well, here's what you need to accomplish this task. There you go. Thank you. And then go enjoy the task. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that a better life than just constantly being a problem to God? I think so. But that's how easy it is. Look over at Isaiah 52 and in verse number 14 now. As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. This is the verse after, these verses after, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. The very next verse says, and many were astonished at thee. His visage was marred more than any man. And we know that is a passage which refers to Jesus Christ. And here is God saying about his suffering servant, Jesus Christ, that yes, you're going to serve me. And yes, as he said in John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge him. My judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. For a time, that obedience there, that service to God, what that meant was that Christ would go through the pain and agony of the cross. At the end of the day, kings would come to know him, that Christ would be exalted, his name would be lifted up, and God's will would be performed, and people would be helped worldwide and throughout all ages. Why? Because of the obedience of one named Jesus Christ. So we have to be very careful that we don't be, this is what we do. We make decisions with the pain factor in mind. I don't want to go through that. It's going to cause me pain. It's going to cause me shame. It's not something I want to do. It's not something I like to do. No. But if Jesus applied that same principle, would he have gone to the cross? No. Being a servant is not about us. Being a servant is about God. And God had Christ go through some very, very hard times, not only because it was needful, but also so that he could be an example to us on how to be a good servant. Amen. Can I say there is no higher position on heaven, in heaven or earth, than to be the servant, a servant of the Most High God. Amen. I would rather be a servant of God than the highest ranking official in the world or the devil's kingdom. Amen. Why? Because that's what God has made us for. That's what he's called us to. And I would rather work for God than anybody else. He is a good God. Amen. He's wonderful. Listen to how God's choice saints describe themselves in reference to the positions that God gave them. Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Paul, amazing, tremendous man of God. I mean, I don't even know if he would have been listening in the store of the Lord nowadays. Amen. He said, I am just a servant of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through righteousness, the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Romans 16:1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. Our dear sister. Well, what's her position, Paul? She is a servant to the church. Wow. And it was worthy to be mentioned in the eternal word of God. Amen. Titus 1:1, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle. It says, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. In Hebrews, it says about Moses, in Hebrews 3:5, Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony to those things which were to be spoken after. Jude 1 says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. It says, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus and called. The servant does not gauge things by what he wants to do, but by what his master wants him to do. A servant does not seek to be served, but instead a servant seeks to serve. Look at Philippians. Jesus is a perfect example and is our perfect example of what a servant of God truly is. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse number 7. He says this in verse 7, but made himself, referring of Christ, of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man. Watch this, here it is. He humbled himself and became what? Obedient. Say, why did it give that humble stuff before obedience? Because that's what it takes. It takes humility to realize I'm not the most important person in the room. I'm really the least important. Amen? Because Jesus has to be first, and then others have to be after that, and then I'm last. Amen? If I'm on the list at all. Amen? So Jesus, he was found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, to show us that there's really nothing too hard or too needful for us to be willing to do or not do. Jesus was obedient even unto death. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him. And that was the example that was just given, is the fact that when we're willing to go through as a servant what's needful, then God, through that service, He will make things happen and bring things to pass that could have never otherwise happened without us being willing to be that servant. Amen. We pray for such grandiose things, for things to happen in our family, in our nation, and all around, you know. But what it's going to take is a bunch of obedient servants that are just willing to follow God. And it won't be anything that we do individually that really makes the difference. It'll be the fact that God gets involved and does things behind the scenes that we couldn't have done any other way. How to be a good servant? Very quickly, look at 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 24. How do we become a good servant? 2 Timothy 2:24. The servant of the Lord must not strive. No strife. That goes back to, how do we become a good servant? Yes, sir. We're not striving with God. We're not striving with men. We're not contentious. Only by pride cometh contention. We're not in a contest. We're just servants. Amen? So the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be, what is that? Gentle. To everybody I like. What that says? To everybody I get along with, to everybody that doesn't rub me the wrong way and push those buttons. Someone, what's this? To everybody that doesn't have some advantage on me. No. It says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. That's a general term, both men and women. Apt to teach. What are you teaching? What you've been taught. God's taught you something, share that with somebody. Teach them, help them. Apt to teach, this word we all love, patient. Be patient. Things seem to happen slower than we'd like for it to happen. Unless it's bad, then we, you know, kind of backwards there. Be patient. Just serve God, enjoy serving God, and be patient. Amen. 25, verse 25 says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. We all have those people in our lives that drive us crazy. I don't know how else to put it. We'd like to help them, but they just oppose themselves. Everything they do seems to be counterproductive. And we give them advice and we try to help them out, and it seems like they just don't get it. What should we do? Just be patient there. Keep instructing. Just keep doing right there by them. Don't get frustrated. Amen. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. We just keep preaching truth to them, and we're praying for God to be involved. We're praying for everything to work out right so that they will acknowledge that, and God will grant repentance. Verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. It sounds to me like God wants to use us in the ministry, in spiritual matters, to be a representative of his in times where it's just very difficult to instruct and help and to be there for people and on and on and on. But that's what God has called us to do, to be consistent, to be faithful, to care, to be gentle, to love others, to not be a respecter of persons, to just be a servant of God, to follow Christ in meekness and humbly and being willing to say yes to the task that God gives us to perform. There was a man in the New Testament that asked Jesus. It was, I believe, a centurion actually asked Jesus to heal his son. And he didn't feel worthy, and he actually said this to Jesus. He basically said, "If you'll just speak that word, you don't need to go to my house. Just speak the word, and he'll be healed." And he said this. He says, "I know what it means to be a man under authority. I know what it means to just to be a servant." And he said, basically, Jesus, you're above all. And you are even over that sickness. You're over all these things. If you just speak that word, it'll happen. And at the end of that, Jesus said, "I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel." And all that man did was really articulate to Christ that he understood something about authority. I ask you this, how about you? Do you understand something about authority? Do you understand how all this works? Because we are not on top. Jesus is. But he's invited us just simply to be a servant. And if we'll just willingly serve him, then God will do work and works through our life that will blow our mind. But it won't be done because we feel like we've arrived or we have position, we have place, and we're full of, it won't happen that way. It'll only happen when we just yield ourselves before him, just simply as a servant. God, I don't know what I'm good at from your perspective. I don't know what I can do. I don't know if you even want to use me. But here's what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to lay myself before you on an altar and say, God, not my will, but thine be done. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to tell you what I like or dislike because you already know. I'm not going to tell you what I want to do or don't want to do because you already know. You know me better than anybody else. I'm willing. I'm willing to be and do whatever it is you want me to be and do. That's what a servant is. And if you'll do that, watch out. It gets exciting. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for this night. Thank you for the time together in your word. Thank you for all the times in the book of Isaiah that we see the word servant used and how much of a servant he must have been for you, Lord God, willing to do things that we look at and say, wow, that right there would have been difficult. And yet he was willing. And then even the passages used in Isaiah that you would use as prophecy concerning Christ, the suffering servant, as it has been termed, the willingness of Christ to go through things that God, he even asked, if it's possible for this cup to pass from me, let it pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Help us, God, just to be good servants for you, not striving, but gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, instructing those that oppose themselves. God, help us with this, I pray. Minister, I pray, to each of us that are our saints. And God, if there's someone here that's lost tonight, they can't be a servant of yours until they're first born again. Help them to understand that and even ask the question after how they might be saved if they know they're lost and, God, you're working on their heart. Bless this night now. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you. You are dismissed.